course," Melissa went on. She looked, Keith thought, absolutely miserable. "That's amazing," he said. "Most people just have a few dozen." "Millions," said Melissa. "Obviously, there's always room for another one."
"Good,"
said Keith. "And there's clause 5, said Melissa, still looking a bit nervous.
"Oh, yes,"
said Keith. "That one puzzled everyone. A slap-up tea with cream buns and a medal, right?"
"Yes," said Melissa. "It wouldn't be properly over otherwise. Would you join me?"
Keith nodded. He stared around at the town. It seemed a nice place. Just the right size. A man could find a future here.
"Yes," he said. "Yes, I think I'll stay."
There's a town where, every time the clock shows a quarter of an hour, the rats come out and strike the bells. And people watch and cheer, and buy the souvenir hand-gnawed mugs and plates and spoons, clocks and other things, which have no use whatsoever other than to be bought and taken home. And they go into the rat museum, and they eat rat burgers, guaranteed no rat, and buy rat ears that you can wear, and buy the books of rat poetry in rat language, and say, "How odd," when they see the street signs in rat, and marvel at how the whole place seems so clean. And once a day, the town's rat piper, who is rather young, plays his pipes, and the rats dance to the music, usually in a conga line. It's very popular. On special days, a little tap-dancing rat organises vast dancing spectaculars, with hundreds of rats in sequins, and water ballet in the fountains, and elaborate sets. And there are lectures about the rat tax, and how the whole system works, and how the rats have a town of their own under the human town, and get free use of the library, and sometimes even send their young rats to the school. And everyone says, "How perfect! How well organised! How amazing!" And then most of them go back to their own towns and set their traps and put down their poisons, because some minds you couldn't change with a hatchet. But a few see the world as a different place. It's not perfect, but it works. The thing about stories is that you have to pick the ones that last. And far downstream, a handsome cat, with only a few bare patches still in his fur, jumped off a barge, sauntered along the dock, and entered a large and prosperous town. It spent a few days beating up the local cats and getting the feel of the place, and, most of all, in sitting and watching. Finally, it saw what it wanted. It followed a young lad out of the city. He was carrying a stick over his back, on the end of which was a knotted handkerchief, of the kind used by people in story circumstances to carry all their worldly goods. The cat grinned to himself. If you knew their dreams, you could handle people. The cat followed the boy all the way to the first milestone along the road, where the boy sat down for a rest, and heard, "Hey, stupid-looking kid, wanna be Lord Mayor?" "Nah, down here, kid." Because some stories end, but old stories go on, and you gotta dance to the music if you want to stay ahead. The end. That is the end of The Amazing Morris and His Educated Rodents. It was written by Terry Pratchett and read by Stephen Briggs.